you know that some of the observations that have come out clearly are, why are people complaining about medical when we are told that we do not have sufficient professionals, be it psychologists or psychiatrists or doctors? Or dentists and so on, and that has an impact on service delivery. Why are people sitting in their cells and not working, and we are told that there aren't sufficient people in the departments to be able to facilitate it? Or when people must be transported from the census hospital, it affects, or the fact that we do not have enough people to, or we have 3 or 5 to 100, or 3 officials to 3,000 or 300 members, it's because of the design of the work environment. So those have been always the responses to our queries as to why the department is not doing what it is in the right thing, because that is what drives us. And we are then hoping, first of all, for all of you either to confirm or to debunk our observations. In fact, what we are seeing is not the truth, because then you're free to say, but no, you guys, the portfolio committee level, I think it's wrong. Or to confirm that these are concerns and possible solutions, because we just don't want to have a meeting session. We want to identify the problem if it is, and what are the possible solutions, or what is it that is hindering the implementation of the solution. We're hoping that the department has got the dedication that are able to answer some of these questions, and we're hoping that organized labor in turn is also able to give us what it is that you are doing or suggesting be done, so that all of us together are able to provide the services that we are obliged to provide by the white paper and by the constitution, and also by what devices that we approve and able to do. So that's what the objective of the sharing is. So could I hand over to you, sir, PSA, is there anything that you want to add, or if you just maybe to refresh us again what were the key points on your previous presentation. You don't have to go into detail. We'll note them. We will then note what possibly has to say. We will note what PCS has to say. We will open up a general discussion. Member Humphrey, thank you very much. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, as you have indicated correctly, we stand by our paper that we presented in February to this committee. We will just brief the members of this committee what's in our paper. And then the progress since February and the matters we have raised on what they are today. The Public Service Association of South Africa introduced the presentation in addition to its original presentation in order to report progress on matters that were presented to the committee on 29th of February 2012. We have talked about the implementation of the OED for correctional services employees. Correctional service employees were amongst many state employees from different categories of occupations within the public service that anxiously await the substantial improvement in their remuneration after the signing of PSEBC 1 of 2007. The sectoral councils were tasked to negotiate OECs for the various occupations within the main was aimed to retain skilled, but aimed to retain skilled employees, and secondly to attract new recruits to state departments. The new created salary structure, as agreed upon by the majority parties, didn't impress correctional officials at all. Employees were used to work 12 days on and 2 days off, and according to PSEBC resolution, received overtime work or performed on Saturday and Sunday. Taking consideration the previous salary package together with the monthly overtime that was in place since 1970s, employees received less income after signing the OED agreement. Case studies in some instances showed a decline in income of up to 1,500 per month less. Many correctional officials in their households are currently still struggling to adapt to a lesser monthly remuneration. Some political parties in this portfolio committee alluded to the inadequate salaries of correctional services at this meeting on 5 May 2010. Discussions between the leadership and the union and
dan mag ik de members of professional services regarding the high level of equity incapacity disputes reveal that the lack of real decent income together with a unique, stressful working environment contributes to the high level of sick leave experience in correctional services. The PSA represents more than 200,000 state employees across the total sphere of government, and the union experienced the most temporary incapacity leave disputes within correctional services. The huge number of genuine disputes that entail OED matters are a true indication that employees are unsatisfied with the employer's application of the OED resolution. The PSA declares many disputes on behalf of its members, which include, among others, the recognition of experience. The dispute was recently arbitrated as the arbitrator ruled that the PSA wrongfully implemented the recognition of experience. The department implemented 3% notch for every 5 years of service minus the appointment requirement from one notch of salary level and not to the new translation of the OED, which led to the majority of workers not qualifying for the recognition of experience. Members were frustrated because of the wrongful implementation since April 2010, and today the Department of Correctional Services didn't correct the implementation, despite the arbitration law. The department, however, decided to take the matter under review, as was reported to this committee. In addition, the legal advisor of the department reported to this committee that the grounds for the review relates to the implementation directive that was set aside by the Labour Court. PSA want to make it clear, therefore, it is clear that the merits of the matter was already dealt with in the arbitration in respect of the interpretation and application of the collective agreement, and that this is different from the implementation directive that was set aside. Since the award was made known to parties, the department continued with its delaying tactic by not filing the answering and grounding evidence. After several letters from PSA attorney and application to set aside the review, the employers decided to respond. The PSA was forced once again to make use of legal avenue to force the employers to adhere to labor court rules. However, PSA wants to report that the employer was reluctant to adhere, and subsequently the PSA attorneys were instructed to index the relevant court papers and requested the residents to place the matter now on the court rules. The improvement in career path statement maker reports that there is no progress in several areas. There is still no post being created for the ground level of employees receiving 2 and 3, so they cannot receive pay progression. They are stuck. And though the resolution makes provision in 2009 already that these posts should be created. And up to date today we can report it's not been the case. There's no post being created. The other matter is the indicators within the Department of Correctional Services. The OED was a mechanism to retain skilled employees. The indicators is part of the skilled employees profession, the occupational and correctional services that need to provide indication to offenders. There's an agreement, Chairperson, that they form part of the education system, the pay progression there is. As in February, we've reported to this committee that the agreement was not extended. Chairperson, we can report today that there was commitment from the department and it's on record in the JPFPC, the Bargaining Council, that they have agreed to extend that resolution to correct rules. As we say thank you very much, but Chairperson, 6 months later, we are struggling week after week to let that agreement be implemented. Chairperson, I want to highlight this because it's educators. It's an occupation that needs to learn our offenders' burdens. While their point in the education department is now in the process of receiving their second pay progression first. The original pay progression of DCS papers is not implemented, although their colleagues outside already are part of the second phase. That is how far behind that is, although there is a decision, They know the rules, and after 6 months we must indicate to the person that we, in the last month, we need to get a dispute with the department to enforce that collective agreement. Chairperson, the impact of the 7-day establishment on the working conditions during the early phase of negotiation membership of the PSA mandated our negotiation team not to agree to a 7-day establishment if the result would be worsening of working conditions. The 45-hour work week in the history of the public service, working hours in specific, a week of 40 hours is in all departments. The Department of Correctional Services was no different, as employees work 40 hours in a week. Except for the regional stress and strain on the centre-based employees, who after the implementation of the establishment in 2009, had to work more than 20 hours a month more than the rest of the public service for that extra income. It also doesn't support the government's call for job creation. That's our view, certainly. If institutions in the country increase the hours of working time in a week as compulsory, it will definitely have a negative impact on job creation. Also, our informed view that the increase in working hours generates more pressure and stress to employees in an already abnormal working environment. Stress and the high level of pressure in the working environment with added hours of work are serious factors that are contributing to the high temporary incapacity in applications in correctional services. The human resources, one of the aims of the 7-day establishment was to give effect to the provisions of the white paper on corrections with rehabilitation on the forefront and to move away from penal-orientated institutions. The vast majority of prisons in our country were built by the old apartheid regime for penal purposes, rather than for rehabilitation purposes as part of unit management principles. The old buildings with few electronically designed functions make it labor-intensive institutions. Unlike the PPP, the public-private partnership facilities. Furthermore, taking into consideration the cut of almost 5,000 posts in 2010, reducing the establishment that were designed for operating federal institutions and expecting afterwards to effectively operate a 7-day establishment in centers of office, said Britain. It boils basically down to the following. The Department of Correctional Services are expected to manage the implementation of a 7-day establishment with rehabilitation programs as prescribed in the white paper in penal institutions with almost 10% less staff, where investigations from studies indicated the need for 6,000 employees to successfully implement the new system. As the Work Study Advisory Department and our experience has been in engaging our members on this matter, the suggestion to make the establishment work has been employed the required staff, is to employ the required staff in order to perform core functions. The averaging of working hours, chairperson and members of this committee, in order for the Department of Correctional Services to successfully implement the 7-day establishment, a collective agreement is necessary in order to average working hours. Since the signing of GPSSB2 of 2009, no agreement will be reached to average the working shifts of correctional services. This relates to excessive overtime being worked by correctional officials, whereas it is currently not being remunerated accordingly. No progress on resolving this excessive overtime. PSA was mandated by its members, and this is since February until now we declare the overtime official dispute for the Department of Correctional Services in order to ensure payment of overtime. Failure to adhere to our request for a pre-arbitration meeting, the PSA will enforce the governing rules of GPSSB to ensure effective speedily implementation of outstanding overtime. President, the PSA want to make it perfectly clear that we will continue with our dispute in terms of the mechanisms to resolve disputes as provided for in the Labor Relations Act and not in accordance with the proposal as contemplated in the draft collective agreement. President, in conclusion, with an array of challenges facing the Department of Correctional Services in making the 7-day establishment work, in order to ensure the successful rehabilitation of offender in care, as prescribed in the white paper, the employer needs to appoint new recruits as a matter of right. The PSA will continue actively support the mandate of rehabilitation in our facilities, but cannot agree to a system where employees' rights are disregarded or situations where the safety of our members are at risk. In order to continue sound relations among stakeholders, the PSA urged the department not to delay matters before the Labour Court and arbitration. We really urge the department not to delay. Chairperson, we as the PSA think it's time to bring finality to all outstanding matters to ensure that resources can focus on the department's mandate that will contribute to the rehabilitation of offenders for the better of our country. It's time, Chairperson, to ensure that prisons can function at a level that will once again contribute to the productivity and its farms and workshops. It's time has come that prisons become a place where offenders can work and learn in order to face the challenges when they are released. The public perception of prisoners doing nothing while law-abiding citizens suffer in terms of health care needs to be changed to a prison system that rehabilitates and that is respected by society. In order to achieve the above mention, it is of the utmost importance to broaden the staff establishment of the department as a matter of faith, and secondly, we need to finalize the court matters and we plead to this department not to delay the matter no longer. Let us finish the matter before four let's go back to our business that is taking care of prisoners and relieving prisoners into a society where they can be accepted and can contribute to society.
Thank you very much. Can we then allow Akhru to do his presentation?
The first problem I think we had was through the migration of officials. The conclusion of the collective agreement was that members were given the choice of whether or not to go to the permanent administration, to have been an administration or want to go to the center, despite members being exercised their choice to go to the institution. They were not migrated as such. But in terms of pay, they were paid in line with choice. But part of that agreement was to lure more members into the ground where the echo was taking place. Now, the refusal to deploy those members leave the lower ground, which would be common now, with less than what you can require. One issue which became largely the bone of contention and which led to massacre of members in KwaZulu-Natal by the department because of those weeks, many later vendors that ensued, but subsequent to that, there were a whole some of them dealing with the issue of the system, but is not final. Despite the concessions that were made, there is still no agreement to the state. The policy, the 7-day policy, there is none. There was a committee that was established to deal with that, and it was disbanded or just left to die in this process when the department took the initiative and the unilateral approach to Now the aspect of that obviously was that members were expected to execute the the application, render the application program, the guidance institution will left vulnerable in terms of security. That is the result of the assaults by inmates, or inmates between inmates and employees, inmates between themselves. And of course, it's a thing. And the strange law will be in state of now correctness. What is happening is that the recreation of, I'm not sure if you know the structure of the cartoon. with the big head, small feet, that's what big head has in the past. You need more members. The big head to be those legs, in your final leg, cool thing. But the opposite of the big head, which we call and has not translated them into much, the current contract. So the way the sort of meetings that we had in South Africa, it might as well get its way into the Congress, and then the Congress plan for that. Then we made some recommendations, that's for the decision, which were forced and created for the members of the personnel. Part of this might be how do we restructure the current assumption to dismantle some of the components in head of the that the issue at the regional level, and you get those members on the ground to the job. So that's immediate, doable, and it's an immediate solution. The speedy conclusion of the I think this is the third day now, that must be finalized immediately. In the meantime, we may have to be there to the 5 day evaluation. So it's either the 5 day establishment or immediately the dismantling of this joint construction. Increase the department establishment and our agreement on the taxes of yes, required for in terms of trade pressure, field resolution of a labor administration of remuneration of Sunday work, and the creation of the field of specialized schools, and the finalizing of the field. Honorable Chair, this is what you said in the nutshell, but in what we say, we have got better strategic than to talk for almost 4 years about one which does not take us anywhere as a recruitment on the time of the situation. I very much see that this issue gets a kind of bed and talk something else about how do you treat things or a real correctional system that we all want to see, that to be in and out of current of our
state. Yeah, on my part, just before we allowed the department, we deliberately allowed organized letters to say in the we want to make it clear that this is not a labor, a forum that is going to solve labor relations problems. This is not the forum. However, we meeting because we want to discuss the unintended consequences of not resolving the things that I have spoken about. We having this discussion because we want to understand, or you to understand, the risk of non-delivery unless these problems are solved. So we really don't want to get involved. Why has it not been implemented? When is it going to get implemented? Those kinds of things. For us, it's the unintended consequences, and one of those unintended consequences is no rehabilitation taking place in these facilities. Risk that has been raised of escapes and also injury, both to inmates and to staff. That's why we are meeting with you. We really don't want to turn this into a labor relations forum. It's the unintended implications or consequences that the ongoing dispute has on service delivery provision. Just so that when you do your presentation, ECS, if it's not covered, you touch it. Some of the points that were raised were the overtime that has not been reimbursed. And we know that there's a contingent liability of serious magnitude on that. If you have to lose it and then you get paid, there's a serious contingent liability. And that's your concern now. Because you have not budgeted for it. Unauthorized expenditure, if you never got to that point. So you need to talk to that. Of course, the issue around retention of specialist staff, they raised the issue of educators as an example. But for us, it's more the retention of specialized staff, whether it's educators, whether it's psychiatrists, psychologists, dentists, and those type of things, because they don't seem to last in our department. That is great. And of course, the stress and pressure level that the delay is having on staff, including the morale. We pick that up every day. So as you do your responses, please touch on those things. We spoke about the safety, and we also spoke about the lack of rehabilitation programs being implemented, whether it's about skills development or about the more softer education side of it. It's just not happening because we've been told that we do not have the requisite manpower to do that, to talk to them. And then finally, the appropriateness of staff deployment. Labor is talking about top-heavy, and people that are office-based should either be on the coast, and migration policy and so on. So those are some of the issues in your presentation. If you've covered it, well and good. If you haven't covered it, talk to it, and then we'll open it up to members to interrogate further. So let me hand over to you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members of the Honourable Committee. As the lead of the delegation, I would also want to go back to the concerns that were raised during the 29th February interaction, which concerns centered around bringing DCS officials with the institutional memory and can therefore talk to some of the things that had taken place as liberals has articulated. So, Chairperson and members of the committee, if you could allow me to make a few opening remarks before I hand over to Admin Kassani to then take us through some of the issues and perhaps respond to points of interest. First and foremost, let me indicate that, you know, as an employee, you get the union that you deserve. And by that is how you interact with them. One of the things that we should be saying as DCS is that we should have to have more receipt on some of the things that have been raised, and we have not done so. That is the first point we need to make. We would also want to not to reduce this forum into a valid forum, as you pointed out, but our would be to look at what are the possible solutions going forward, be it in a form of a framework to take the discussion forward. It also is of concern that matters that ought to be resolved in a forum are sitting before where they are not at this point in time. Chairman and members of the Control Committee, one of the realizations is that the issues that are currently outstanding, be it the 7-year establishment, the issue of overtime, and the implementation of OLE, came about as a result of a resolution. And that resolution was brought about by a joint implementation team, a task team, which then would indicate the kind of kickoff or actions that to say for us to realize the aims and objectives of this resolution, the following thing ought to happen. But what has then not happened is that parties signed an agreement and they went their separate ways, leaving each to their own device to interpret this agreement. Whereas what really is to happen going from Jefferson without preempting the solution is to then say we need to go back and facilitate those joint implementation tactics. Because it is that collective wisdom that A gave rise to the solution. And B, we then need to go back to the collective wisdom and say, what are then the action steps that need to take place? Because the reality with the agreement and labor relations agreement is that oftentimes in hindsight, you do realize that perhaps things have been done differently. But what has happened in the absence of or the collapse, as the organization has pointed out, that DCF was implemented in the individual terms, and therefore have led to the collapse of the joint implementation task. That is really unfortunate. And I'm saying, sitting here as the lead of the delegation of DCS, a possible solution is that we need to revive those joint task implementation teams. That is the only solution. So for each and every of those resolutions, be it resolution 1 or 2 of 2009 or even 4 of 2009, there are action steps that need to be realized. And it cannot be done independently. Parties cannot then go into their respective corner and seek to implement this independently. Because that's what leads you to different interpretation of what Hunter intended. And with pressures of time, with changes in leadership, you then get into a space where people are saying, let us then implement it in the country. Therefore, leading to a further collapse of relationships. So that would be the first point. Secondly, we have engaged with labor at principal level to talk to the issue of a relationship by objective workshop. And this is brought about by the clear realization that the relationship is not where it should be. I can report to the committee that discussions are at an advanced stage in terms of putting together logistics for that, and it is hoped that that RBO will take place before the end of this year. Secondly, one of the challenges being identified here talks to the issue of a staffing model. DCS has to come up with a proper staffing model based on scientific ratios to basically say that it cannot be just relegated to a few junior website officials to say go and into a sense and determine how many people you need. You need a proper scientific analysis based on future projections to say if this is the number of or the current person, so how many officials are we going to require going forward? That is the critical issue. Because out of the staffing model, you can then be able to put in place targeted recruitment methods. So then say, do we have structured relationships with specific colleges for us to be able to recruit assistants? Because simply going out and putting up an advert in the newspaper and saying you are trying to recruit assistants, perhaps they are sitting in an informal settlement where they don't have assets to what you need, and therefore you look out for them. Chairperson and the members of the portfolio committee, DCS has to take a lead in the resolution of these things. Perhaps it's a perception that members, because they are a contested race, we can help hold back and say each party can then deal with members as a contested race. But it has to be borne in mind, conventionally it might appear, Chairperson, that before they are members of organized labor, they are employees. And if there is a stalemate that we are reaching, it is easier that they to move forward and seek to resolve a stalemate. It cannot be organized labor, because when you do that, then we are abrogating our responsibilities. Chairperson and members of the portfolio committee, there are certain issues that for me and the members that are with me are non-technical matters that should have been resolved many months ago. I'm referring to the issue of translation of letters from 2008. That is a non-technical matter which, yes, we have to find funding to ensure that we pay, but it cannot be an issue that is still outstanding. There is no dispute with labor as far as I'm concerned. It is simply that administratively we have to ensure that we make an extra adjustment. The same applies to the paid progression of 3%. It is an unethical matter that we have to see and implement. Yes, we have to find money. And the chairperson alluded to a point about lack of funding. But we do have to find money because we cannot compromise the principle over an issue of funding. Thirdly, organized labor corporate, particularly the issue of control room operators. It is something that we also have to be able to resolve. Without creating the resolution and introducing this forum into a bargaining unit, one of the possible solutions could be that we take those students or the control room operators into the colleges. But of course, being a security establishment, you cannot leave those control rooms isolated. So part of what we have to be doing going forward is to ensure that we train some of the learners that are currently in the colleges in control room operations so that we can then do a swap. Chairperson, this is everything here. Our intention is not to go on to the defensive. Our intention is not to sit here and defend the indefensible. Because we can sit here while the phone is bent. Our is to say, let us go back to start joint implementation tactics. And if things that we had indicated in those agreements, with hindsight, are proving to be unimplementable, it should be the joint implementation task teams that then inform the human nature body to say this particular stuff. While the pipeline of KSU has been proper at this point in time when we had the agreement, it is proving to be unimplementable. Therefore, that is an accepted principle in law as far as conclusion of collective agreement. Have to go back to the table to say, is this thing now implementable or not? And if it's not implementable, let us go back and rework it. Chairperson, I will hand over to IRC Element to talk to some of the historical issues around the voice raised on the issues of covering agreement, certain the establishment and the shift money. Thank you.
After we went along to talk to the historic facts, only in terms of how does it affect the way going forward. We really don't know the history. Yeah. If you talk to him, I talk to you to say, this is the context and this is how we want to see it going forward. And we don't want to hear the history about why it was, thoughts about, and all those type of things. Is that okay? And then we want to open it up for serious discussion. Right then.
No, thank you very much, President. I think the tone has been set. It would be a waste of time going there. But I just want to echo what my colleague, when I said that it is indeed regrettable and unfortunate that we're sitting in this forum on matter that we had agreed upon. The resolution was a joint agreement with organized labor. There were ideals that we had agreed upon in terms of what the purpose is that we are signing the resolution and what we wanted to achieve. Because this thing happened at a time when DCS itself was looking at how they could enrich the work of the employees and their careers. And then came the OST, which gave us even a better opportunity to look into such areas. Looking at how the whole process has been unfolding, Chairperson, my suggestion would also support what Ms. Mukwena is saying, that we isolate methods that are technical, that are in the resolution, that in order to change them, would have to go back to the negotiations, isolate those and put them aside, because they are in the resolution. On hindsight, as you said, maybe labor realizes that it is not profitable, it's not working for their members, but some of the things that are in the resolution are methods that we concluded as a collective. Then we can isolate those issues and agree whether they need to go back to be reviewed within the chamber. But in areas where we are supposed to implement, we identify those administratively, and those matters are dealt with administratively. I'm referring here to issues like the 45 work week, because it is part of the resolution, and there was a process that was put in place on how that was going to be functioning. The extra 20 hours that is being referred to not being remunerated is a matter that could be discussed in those forums and be resolved in that forum. Because there was a purpose on putting it in the resolution, which we all agreed to as parties. The issues of migration and people not being in the positions where they supposed to be is an administrative matter that we can put aside, that it should be dealt with by a two-way directive that could be implemented. However, the major challenge, Chairperson, is the issue of the overtime. But going to the 78 establishment, the purpose was that we needed to reduce the per capita payment of overtime while we are not creating employment through the money that we were paid for overtime. So I think that is the critical issue. The 7 day was implemented because from the beginning, TCF was an organization that is expected to work 24/7, and therefore you cannot work on a 5 day work week when other government institutions that provide services 24/7 work on a 7 day work week. So I think it was trying to balance those issues. And the key challenge that we are faced with, which we need to focus on within the implementation of that 7 day,
is the sheet system. The two by twelve sheet system is the sheet system that was well researched. Is the sheet system that was well accepted by organized labor and by GPS. The challenge with the 2x12 sheet system is the staffing, because it requires more staff. The pilot we then at Johannesburg showed a lot of positives in terms of rehabilitation programs. You have more hours for offenders to be outside and working. For instance, if you work a shift of 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening, there's more time. The lock up for offenders, it's not going to be at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock. It could be at 5 o'clock. In fact, it was the feedback coming from offenders when we interviewed them, indicating that it's allowing the NGOs and service providers coming from outside more time to spend in the correctional centers if we're working on a two-shift system. And it's killing two redundant shifts, which is the 2:10 and 10:06, because it's late at night, it's shifts that are actually dead shifts in essence, because people are sleeping. You just feed them and they go to bed and turn off. It also creates complications with a transport of officials, because we expect officials to travel to be at work at 10 o'clock at night. But if it's a 6 to 6, they would be there while transport is running in housing transport and in other places. But from 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, they would be able to be at work. Then by the time they knock off, they would have that. So basically, it was a shift system that we could work with. But the challenge that has posed, which is posed in currently, the number of staff that we have because of our reduced establishment from 46 to 41,000. I think that is where the key challenge is. And a solution to that, in our discussion, even previously with National Treasury, was to work out a proper and scientific staffing model ratios to determine the number of staff that we actually need. However, the agreement that we had with labor, Chairperson, was that if any of the institutions operate at a rate of 80% capacity, we could migrate those centers to the 2x12 shift system. And I think that was the challenge in terms of how we were migrating them. It was supposed to be a process that all centers target would be to move them up to 80%, targeting to have a fully staffed center, which in practice is not 100% watertight. But that was the intention. However, we found a reduction in some of the centers that were had to be 80% because of the reduction in number of our staffing, having less and less vacancies that we could fill going forward. So that's one area that we really need to look at. The implementation task team of the OSP, when it was established, it consisted of GPSA, correctional services, treasury, GPSSBC, and organized labor. We're a task team that worked together to identify these challenges as we go and agree where we need to tweak and where we need to make changes. And I strongly believe that if that team could be revised, where National Treasury would also understand the needs of the shift system, that the best shift system, which would allow our officials and rest periods and rest times according to the basic conditions of the Employment Act, that would allow the department to implement the application programs effectively, that would allow the offenders to have enough time during the day to work in the shift system, in the 2x12 shift system. But the other shift system, where really that we are implementing in some of the centers currently are really not working towards the ideals of the right paper, and also getting the department to be compliant with the Correctional Services Act in terms of the meal time, because it is stipulated what the meal time should be, 3 meals per day. So if you have a longer shift system, it allows for that, and during the day everybody is awake. So I believe that is where our problem lies, is the number that we need to be able to implement that kind of shift system. If we can address that, I believe that we can move forward with the implementation.
other matters that I think my colleague has already addressed. And some of the issues, Chairperson, are matters that unfortunately are in court now. And I think with the change of leadership, we have experienced a challenge of people understanding the direction in which as a whole OSP implementation was supposed to take, and there was a high step over at leadership level, not only in DCS, but we realized also in DPSA, some of the people who were behind the implementation of the OSPs may no longer be there, and therefore may have created some planning in terms of the process going forward for purposes of implementation. It is indeed unfortunate, in concluding, my input here, that all these matters are now in court. And I think, as Mr. Mugwena, leading the delegation and the chief in HR, these are matters that need to be taken back with our principals, and also matters that would be discussed in the forum that we had created. We had a very good relationship in the past with organized labor. Every step of the way, the resolution was not signed with eyes closed. We were all together, and we understood that we were signing together with the organized labor led by the DPSA, where this resolution was signed. But the other major part that needs to be resolved in those matters that are in the court is the payment of the second phase of the OVT, which I think is a major, major issue that is creeping organized labor. Because it is in that translation where the expectation was that in terms of progression, the officials of DCS were going to be to benefit more. There was that understanding. And then we implemented it based on the implementation directive that was issued by the Minister of Public Service and Administration, and which was a complication in the whole matter. Thank you, Mr. President.
You know, and I'm going to allow members to have, you know, throughout your presentation, I was trying to get to a point of understanding why these things have not been done. You are saying some of these things are technical, there's no dispute, it should be done. We are talking here, and we're all agreeing that the task team should be revised, because it then brings inclusivity. The intention we need to look at, I'm saying those are the terms that are coming out. The intention we need to look at, if we should revise. Nobody said to me, why has it not been done? Nobody said, why has it not been done? Because that is what we want to understand. Why has it not been done, and how do we unlock it? In March, the contingent liability for overtime was 1.3 billion rand. Now that's 10% of the department's budget. 10% of your budget, we had a potential liability. That was in March. We are now in September. So that 1.3 billion rand probably has grown. Nobody is saying to me, if the court case goes in the favor of the litigants, or whatever you call them, these that are making a noise, where does DCS get 1.7 billion rand? Where do you get 1.7? Because it's you that is saying, we must find the money. It's not about the principal anymore. We just need to find the money to pay for the expenses. On the other hand, we've got a potential 1.7 billion rand overtime litigation, and nobody's saying to me, and all these things are as a result of procrastination. They all have their results of procrastination. And nobody said to me, why are you procrastinating? And I think that's the answer that we need to have with relief here. Why is it that ETS are procrastinating? We give you 17 billion rand a year. And yet we are not implementing these policies. There's intention, there's a need to revive. Nobody saying to me, we actually. I don't think the Correctional Services Portfolio Committee can hold this hand. Hold our hands anymore and be privy to a potential 1.7 billion rand litigation that if only things were implemented or finalized, wouldn't be there anymore. So we really want to ask for all of us and their solutions to how we do it. Because there doesn't seem to be too much of a dispute around these things. The high level was the final point that I want to make. And I mean, this was the closest I got to the wise CFPW implementation. Because of the high turnover of leadership in GCS and high turnover of leadership in G and public service and administration. When it comes to policy, it doesn't matter about the individual. So that argument of the high turnover of leadership doesn't hold. It doesn't matter who is in leadership, if there's a policy in place, you must implement it. So high turnover really doesn't hold water with me, certainly. Members will talk about it. But I'm still waiting for the why. The fact that you've given us what I turn over, unfortunately, is something that I would need convincing on. Gwenya, self, and Baba Dobu, and then Vanir, I look up next, is there one?
Thanks, Jefferson. Jefferson, I don't want to use to say thank you for the presentation, because for really, Jefferson, this is the conflict to me. One thing, the Pope says the government is enough staff, but the problem is how staff is deployed. In the recommendation, they said the department should increase their staff strength. Now, Chair, is this not the conflict? Two, as I said, presentation from the organizing labor and the department, it shows Chair that there are no collective working because the department is talking about the agreement with the organizing labor. At the very same time, on page 9, the Pope said average working hours without collective agreement. So, Chair, that's why I said here we are dealing with a conflict. And I don't believe that we are going to get the right answer according to our oversight. We have won all the provinces in Jefferson. OSB Chair is not working at all. Implementation Jefferson is not there. I was thinking that maybe the department, together with the labor, will come with something Chair that is going to assist us. But out of this presentation, Chair, we are not going to get whatever that is. We want to get from the department. Now, Jefferson, I want to know from the department, why the department always, Jefferson, they've got a pilot project, and out of that pilot project, you never found a report that is telling you that everything has been implemented. I need a pilot project. It's something that you test, that let me do 1, 2, 3 according to my understanding. Then when you do this thing, you've got a template. But I don't get it from the department that when they made this pilot project from Johannesburg, how long was this project helping established? And what is the result of the pilot project? We don't get that. We get that there is the committee that was discussing jointly with a program. Same as page 9 in the Jefferson. But we don't get a report that as they were working together and testing, what is this report saying here? Because on bullet 3 it says original presented report on the state of readiness on the implementation of the 30 days establishment. But Ashland is working effectively. In fact, to me, Chair, it's not working at all. That means the chairman in the department must come with a mechanism that is going to assist this rehabilitation. When we go to oversight, Chair, we've got a challenge of transport. When is the department going to say that we've got a challenge of transport? This, we need transport, and we need so much budget for the transport for our members, children. We cannot just carelessly ignore that our members that are working as the food soldiers, as folks who are saying that yes, at the top, the head is big, like he covered that logo. It's true. But down here, as we do overtime, there's only food soldiers, children. There's a lack of staff, shortage of staff. Each and every year when we go to overtime, children. So it looks like we're just sitting in this meeting with the department. Nothing is happening. And I don't think that it is going to happen if the department doesn't come with a clear plan of how are we going to do this rehabilitation and how are we going to make sure that the food soldiers capacity that getting their salary that is going to make them happy to do their work effectively. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Charles will pose his questions and then we will get a response and then we'll move on to Baba Jogo and Mr. Mack and then Mr. Nguni. Mr. Charles.
Thank you, Chair. I think you and Mr. Nguni covered some of what I wanted to say. But I must say that the discussion here today depresses me greatly because if you think of what we were told in February or March whenever we last had this conversation, there is precious little that's changed, apart from the quantum or the likely quantum of amounts of overtime that might have accrued in the interim. And therefore it's perhaps appropriate that I heard on the radio this morning that it is International Procrastinators Day today. So maybe the department could have a new motto, ever do today what can be safely delayed until tomorrow. Because it seems to me that if the argument is correct and things that could have been implemented weren't implemented, then you have to ask the same question as the chairperson of why? What's the problem? But then I actually think that it isn't as simple as that. Because if it was as simple as that, would it happen? And I suspect that what happens is that you sit down and you have an agreement, so-called agreement, between yourselves and the union, and the devil lies in the detail, and then go off and you implement it, and then there's a dispute on the implementation. And then what happens is that this thing goes to arbitration, and there's an arbitration award that is made, and then the department goes to court. And Mr. Salami said, well, it's a pity that all these things are in court. I know why they're in court. They're in court because the department doesn't want to implement it. So that's what the delay is. And that's why it's not as simple as saying that these are technical things that can just be implemented, and it's a pity that they haven't been implemented, because they're not. It doesn't work like that. The other thing that, I mean, I've always understood that this is a package deal. So that if you're having a 7-day establishment, the only way in which it can work is if the department thins down the management level and migrates that management level into the centre so that you can actually have enough warm bodies managing in the centres and not pushing memos around to one another at regions and head office and wherever these things go. Now, I mean, it's always been my experience that whenever the department comes and makes the presentation, there's still more deputy directors and directors and deputy commissioners and deputy chief commissioners and there are lots of people with lots of brass. And there are not enough people who are sitting on the coalface doing work that needs to be done. And until that happens, or until you're persuaded that there's a real commitment to grow the timber from the bottom up, then I'm afraid, much as it's against my nature to do so, I think that the crop tree argument has validity in this particular respect. Thank you, Chair.
Why is the answer nature to your book?
I'm not sure.
You're kidding me, though. The Mugren clipping in the middle of the portfolio of me. Thank you. Perhaps let me, I'll ask you to tell you the second aspect of the dream of our response. Insofar as I will borrow from what Paul said about Giorgio. Insofar as Giorgio is concerned, the accounting officer a couple of months ago, I would imagine that two months ago, commissioned the internal audit to verify the numbers at head office level. They're going from floor to floor, asking people what it is. I know that I am accountant. What is it that you are doing? What is your job title? Where are you in this very chain? So to deal with this issue of people that we see in this, and we don't seem to know exactly what it is that they are doing. Because we are also accepting and appreciating the fact that our core mandate is about rehabilitation, is about ensuring safety and security. And you cannot therefore do that with a blocked head office. It simply says that you are talking from both sides of your mouth. You're saying one thing on the other side and then say the other. I have to say collectively that yes, we have procrastinated. Yes, we have. It is not something that one can sit here and proudly say yes, we have done it, because these consequences that we are dealing with, or matters that are taken before court, is that because the department did not move with the necessary speed on these things. Perhaps also touching on what the Honourable Self is saying, I did point out earlier on in my opening remarks that when you rely on a collective wisdom to craft an agreement, but when it comes to the implementation, you decide to part ways, and each party implemented whichever way they see it. It's a recipe for disaster. It is never going to work, and we are seeing the results now. Now that we are sitting here. Because what should have happened is that an implementation model needed to have been worked out by the same task team to say, how do we see this thing being realized? By when should we see the final box being ticked? And I'm submitting that in that process, as they were working out the implementation model, they would have come to a realization with hindsight that some of the things that they committed to, perhaps a member of the committee, it was late in the night. People were tired. It happened with the collective agreement. There is pressure from the members on one side, there is pressure from the employer, and parties that are sitting and negotiating a document often go into and sign things with the best of intentions. We call it the best of intentions, but as honorable member gave us to say, the devil lies in the details. And when you double click on those clauses, you then realize the devil that you're dealing with. And that is where we lost it. We lost it by going our separate ways. And that is why I submit has led us to where we are right now. We need to go back and resuscitate those things. Go through these agreements. We have a number of resolutions, which are extremely technical, Chairperson. If you go through those agreements, they are extremely technical. And then that is where the challenge for me lies. So, Jefferson, the question, why? Is the first thing we have for our meeting. We have. I have to report, though, that one some of the things that we don't feel that they are clinical, and that it's not one of us giving a discussion. What we are saying, and it is not something that organized labor should punish us for. We are saying for the letters of 2008, the department is committed to pay them. If money is due, then we have to find funding to pay them.
let them commence like Thursday and Friday. And HR presented this challenge and let them resolve the payment monitoring. What will then take place, Jefferson, is that with the HR team responsible for personal and payment, they have to indicate to us what is the earliest payment date so that we can then work backwards. And same with organized labor, do we, for instance, issue a joint statement? And how, what is the implementation model of this? Because the members will say, yes, we hear that let them continue the decision, but when are you going to pay? And this is something that we have to see with organized labor and say, when is the payment date? If they are clear, who is the HR person that we have to handle with as management level? Secondly, let them continue the decision on the implementation of phase two of accidents. To say, pay the phase two of accidents. It is clear the agreement, there's no reason why you should be paid. That was the decision. Second decision they did at Mesmenko. Thirdly, let Mesmenko also took the decision that the pay progression of 3%, it is also something that you cannot as a department continue to procrastinate and not pay. It is clear. The problems arose as a result of incorrect notions being applied, and therefore people did not get the full 3% which they were entitled to. Now, having realized that this is a challenge, naturally, all you have to then do is to go and implement. We do have challenges as far as budget is concerned, but my real submission, I still stand by it. There is a principle here. We have to find time for that. If it means approaching care, we need to do so. Thank you. That is it, then.
It's also the record that you kept referring to NEMCO. That's how the team is in the National Management Committee.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Yeah. No, I think I want just to add to the question that Chairperson asked. One, Ms. Nguema and colleague touched on that. And the first issue is the one that I raised, the issue of leadership change, and when new leaders come in and then the flatness because they want to acquaint themselves with what needed to have been done. And the budget cut, even in the current financial year, Treasury has issued a directive that we must go back to our budget and cut by 1% of the total budget. So the cuts every year do happen, and they also affect the compensation budget. So that's one of the areas. But my colleague spoke to that, and we need to look at that going forward. I think the critical issue and the key issue is the different interpretation of some of the laws, as we discussed them, the detail, the devil lies in the detail. So when now the interpretation has been done before implementation, then it delays implementation because various stakeholders that were involved come up with not just what it meant, then the legal opinion, then it goes back and forth. And that is actually killing the relationship that we have with organized labor and some of the things that are coming out at this point in time. The issues around the shortage of personnel, as the Honorable Manwina said, it is so true. It is. We've got three shortages. Now that I'm also a regional commissioner, I see on a daily basis the shortage on the ground of staff and the result of the shortage of staff. It's in my face everything. So I see that the shortage of staff is actually really killing the whole process of implementation of the resolution. So I think that's the area that we would need to look at. And with the part on our establishment has even now made things worse because when I had 965 people to employ, then I only have about 300 that I have to employ. But the other posts we had to cut and abolish. So that in itself is creating a serious problem. The lack of the agreement on the average of hours, as has been raised by Mamuwe, is as a result of the lack of cooperation. If the cooperation could be there and an understanding between organized labor
and us as a department, I think we can be able to resolve this item. OSD implementation on the ground, yes, indeed. The first, certain pieces of the OSD were implemented, but the rest, those that we have already highlighted, are not as big as they should. The pilot project in Johannesburg, the one that still report that was produced after the pilot had run, with positive results and also raising some challenges that we face that has to be looked at as we roll out. And it is on the basis of that report that we roll out and agreed with organized laborers who would implement the 2x12 shift system in those centers that have got a capacity of 80% and above. So it was as a result of what we found from the pilot in Johannesburg that it is indeed going to work. It is positive in terms of rehabilitation, the work-life balance for our officials. It is also positive to deal with the stress measures that were being raised, because it was balanced out in terms of the how many days they would work in a shift and how many days they would be off. And then during the off period, the body relaxes, we comply with the basic conditions of the Employment Act to reduce the stress levels and things like that. So it was, we were very on course on that, but the issue of staffing, once again, is a major problem that we have been faced with. And the 7-day establishment, I think the 7-day, the implementation of a 7-day work week, maybe leaving out the shift system, I think we had to go that way in view of the budgetary constraints and the payments that we're making on overtime. We had to go a 7-day work week. And we believe that there's not much of complications in working the 7-day work week, but it is complicated by the shift system itself. So we need to resolve the issue of the shift system. And I think those are the issues that I really wanted to respond to. We take note of some of the comments. It is indeed a bad situation.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to start by saying that it seems as if that this meeting is going backwards instead of progress. Why I'm saying that is because both parties agreed that there was an agreement, firstly, but the agreement was not implemented. And then they ended up in court. In one of our questioner centers where we were, somebody said that this document was run by courts. And I said, what do you mean by that? He said, every now and then, everything has been challenged by the department when they have already agreed, and then they challenge it themselves. Now, this is why I'm saying today, Chairperson, students who are going backwards instead of taking the first step, step forward. There was an agreement. Agreement was not fulfilled. Somebody challenged the detail of the detail of the detail without consulting the party and let them end up in court. Now, my problem, Chairperson, if I am an employee of the CS and I'm a human, and I don't get my last time, how would I be? If I'm here in this negotiation, how would I be? That is why gentlemen have a problem of not trusting each other when we discuss this matter. This triangle up there is not working, gentlemen. Because if they agree that there was an agreement, if they agree that they have to go for 7 days, but at the end of the day, whether it is a breakage, nobody understands who should conduct each other. Each other is a branch of things, I don't love you anymore. Go to hell, we'll meet you there. and no one says anything about it. There is no link in between. That's my first problem. The second problem just as well is the matter of the staff there, who are represented by these two groups.
Not the other one that has been employed, because they're the universal attendant that we are going to give you five times. These are the two people.
The consultation of those people there sometimes it goes further than what it's supposed to go, or maybe less than it's supposed to go. Because some of the members there say that it is as if we don't understand what is going on. That's the problem they face. Now, if all these groups today agree, that is the department and the organized labor, agree that they can come together and solve the problem, can they have a mechanism of going back to the staff and assess the staff jointly to make sure that they capacitate the understanding of the staff of what is going on within the department? Because if they can't do that, we'll have a mega strike that will take place in the department. And at the end of the day, we will never know how to solve it. That will be my second problem. The last problem, Jefferson, is that I don't understand if they say we agree on the 17th work, but we don't, there was a misunderstanding on the sheet. I don't understand that. I need that to be explained to me. What does that mean? Because if you agree on the 17th, you agree because you know how many people hours it hasn't worked on that 17th, including the sun. And you agree how much a person will be paid, and so on and so forth. Based on the basic condition of the Employment Act. And making sure that that person is not prejudiced in the kind of thing. But now, I don't understand if you say, I agree on the 17th, but it was complicated by 12 per hour sheet. That's the problem that I'm having. And that's the problem that we'll have on the staff. Thank you, Chair.
Thank
you, Chairperson.
Mr. Quinn, I don't know how long you are in the position of, but it seems to me that you know the rules, you know the legislation, and you know the department obligations in terms of the labor regulations. And you must be careful to listen to the word labor regulations act. Now, there are three things in the labor regulations act, from the beginning to the end. The first one is consultation. The second one is consultation. The third one is consultation. That is how to ensure that your labor relationships are healthy between organized labor or your workplace forums in the absence of organized labor or individual employees. However, I feel also that you are speaking on behalf of the National Commissioner. And the reason why I'm asking you this question is that you conceded to almost everything which organized labor raised in this house, which is outstanding and which is presently in terms of the law of all. I agree with the chairperson saying that it's not a dispute resolution forum. Yeah. However, what is not being complied with in terms of your agreement has an effect on service delivery, which is our business. This is Parliament's business. And if you people know for some time this is wrong, you entered into a collective agreement, you said, and the parties changed parts. They went different ways. Who are the people who are responsible for diverging illegally because a collective agreement is law in terms of the labor relations? Who is the responsible party or the guilty party who actually walk away from this? OSD agreements and other relevant agreements.
here at the same point. All these promises were made. This is how we're going to conduct. This is what we're going to do and all these things. Now you, I assume that you appointed IRCC Edward, that we as a department didn't have our members. You must also understand, when you break an agreement, is that you turn your back on your members, not on the union. And that thing of we had a very healthy and good relationship with the union, must not be seen as the union, because there was a mandate to represent the workforce and the workplace. And that is the relationship with your employees. Any deviation from an agreement is a turn your back on your employees, okay? I said it before, and it seems that given this, what was said in this house before, and what we have heard here today, is that, you know, management, and I said it before, is only interested in their own interest. Because if you were really interested in the welfare of your members, surely some practical steps should have been taken to rectify the situation. In Kimberley, for instance, I don't know whether you are aware, I think the RTA wanted somebody to investigate the complaint. Five nurses, sisters, resigned, I believe, as a result of the conflict between management and the officials. Because of this thing that you have to obtain a management decision through an arbitration or whatever for, because there's a lack of management skills. I'm very pleased and excited about your views, but I'm also concerned if your views does not conform to the view of the National Commission, you might be shifted or removed from that position. So, or whatever the case may be. But in providing if your views is in contrast with the National Commissioner's views. Because we have this promise from the National Commissioner, and you admit that in fact the National Commissioner failed to ensure that these policies are being implemented. So, the last thing I would like to say is, you know, from this budget cut, Mr. R.C. yesterday, how can you enter into an agreement knowing that you don't have the financial muscle, to comply with a legal document which you signed with your workforce? And how are you going to go about? Where are you going to get the money to pay this amount which the airperson mentioned, which is brilliant, overtime, outstanding? Seeing you are faced with the budget cut, how are you going to balance, you know, those things? And I must say, you know, not all of you, but there are managers who's only blatantly arrogant in the department. So much so that they're not even our leaders as MPs, our correspondents. Now, it is not a surprise to me that you've got this attitude towards your workforce. And at the end of the day, those beneficiaries of service delivery is need to be rendered to them a suffering. So, Chairperson, I just want to say that they must also, Mr. McQuena, you continue to work almost everything, and you must also understand this is a public document as well. And organized labor or whoever you actually have a dispute and legal litigation can use this concession against the department of writers and dying of these things.
Thank you, Advocate Max. Thank you,
I want to start my
I'm talking workers on the ground of the DSC. Their morale is very down. Some, to an extent, that they feel that the issue they came at the wrong department. Are you aware of that situation? If you are aware, this situation would have been sometimes long ago incorrected or rectified. Chairperson, I want to go to, you know, the PSA, it says that it's not signed the GPSFBC resolution. They were not party to the signature of this resolution. Meaning that this resolution wasn't complete without the signature of the PSA. Therefore, it questions that what the resolution binding for PSA as well. If it was, you bind them without them being part of the signature. Now, you need to expand it to ask, tell us that what happened. Because if you say it was the establishment of a joint implementation team, was the PSA part of that joint implementation team? And if it was part, it worries me to say that how can they be part of implementing of something that they did not part to the signatory of the certain solution. But also with my little knowledge in this cognition agreement or collective agreement, there is always a dispute resolution mechanism that is put into play in the very agreement. We talked about when each party fails to do what, how are we going to get there and resolve it and so on. Now, it says to me, after Mr. Mpona says that each party was left on its own to implement the resolution, the problem became actually who are you working to? If you were elected or appointed to setting that joint implementation committee, meaning that you were accountable to some people. Now these people whom we are accountable to, what were they saying when you were not reporting to them as to the progress on this matter? Now in this case, Chairperson, the responsibility lies with the employer. The employer, the Fair Condition of Employment Act gives power to the employer to say the record lives to the employer. Therefore, if the employer sees that these things are not happening, the employer is responsible to go back and re-establish all, go back to the agreement and say this is how the thing is said to be done. Because, fairly speaking, all these litigations comes from the labor, comes from an ordinary people, members of the DCS. Now, meaning that the senior management was created when these things were happening, when there was no implementation, for example, they were happy. The pilot did not run their board. Now, why is the failure from the, to resolve on the matter of separate ways? But the department continues to implement. He did not care whether other parties, what are they saying. Let me just read the one of Dr. Samuel. Just show to me that Robert Francis Kopal, page three, we have seen the department focusing its financial resources and energy in the creation of jobs for us. You see that part. Now, this is a very flat allegation. Now, you say both parties who are part
industry that by these resources of resolution. They go out and tell us that this is the situation. Now you saw this allegation. You don't even go back and also create an environment where you need to come along. It's a very clear allegation. If folks can give proof to that, at the same time, you will be found. The department will be found. So, children, my colleagues have said, especially Cafe Max, say that there's a lot of activity into all what you are saying, all what is being said by the union, and so on. Whether community implemented, you know, it remains to be seen. Mr. Mbwena, I'm saying the morale of the staff, wherever the visit that you undertook in all our facilities, it's down and out. When you were in the bus that time, there was a member who was out there making a terrible noise. This is how you treat us. This is how you treat us. You know, it was, you know, I wanted to run away, but you can't run away. I'm responsible. But I cannot be directly responsible because I'm not there when they are in the way. Now, you've got a senior official here who I can conquer with the honorable to say that. What if these people are feeling what is wrong here? Don't think. Because you have your staff across at them, at the level of senior management. Everything of yours is well and good. You are not affected. And there's a snail pace of implementing the resolution. Don't even care about what the unions are saying. They are saying that we come on to fight. We did not fight. But for you, it's nothing, it's nothing. We'll continue to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, that actually embarrasses us. We're embarrassed. When I'm questioned that what are you doing with what is happening when you meet an ordinary member of the street, you don't know what to say, what to say. You can't defend the department because surely these other things you said are not taken out. You just implement them. Why don't you do that? Simple as that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mavanguni. And the next one will be Mambanya, followed by Baba Sele, and then we'll allow you to respond.
Chairperson, I don't know what I'm going to say, the question or it's a comment, but I think that is well observed on this document, and I think that it's proper for us as a follow committee also to assist the department, and they must make sure that they are ready to be assessed. Our work of oversight check is the one that we observe the challenges that we are facing in everything that is happening in our sector. Our staff check. Even now, if we can say we must go to oversight, it's going to be difficult for us to call a meeting for the staff because we don't have an answer. Our staff were crying out no agreement of or information of the 7 days. For example, Enron. We are lucky because up to now, there's nothing that has been happening. We finished there later, I'm sure it was 10:30. Because of the matter that we are sitting with right now. It was shown that there's no information to our members in terms of this agreement. did have an aunt. And the way the moral was down there, it was shocking us to find the management itself don't understand who has made the agreement. Management themselves, they don't talk to each other. Because of this thing that we are making today, it might happen to somebody else thinks that maybe we are discussing something because of COVID is kind of serious. There's a serious, serious matter in our center in terms of our staff. And all of us know, Shane, that our staff is working under serious situation. And in terms of their frustration, no one is ready to take that frustration out of them. Their salary is peanuts. And the union, that thing is talking for them. How long is the union going to talk about the salary of our staff? I think departments need that charity. Policy, they catch you by hand, getting it. But if Ukatanisa is salary, officer, then correctional, you find different. And the member that is working, correctional, is looking after the inmate, agenda, emphasis, our government is working. But when you look at the salary of the person who is looking after these people for the rest of his life, it's any peanuts. I don't know how to solve this challenge, but I want the department to go back and look at the salary of the members at the class of the amount soldiers in correctional things. Chair 2, I would like the union and the department to assist this department by working together in terms of this OSD. Because, Chairperson, if we are not working together, we are not going to get professionals in this department. But if they work together, we are going to get them professionals. Because they need to sit down and check that what mechanism can they do to affect these professionals. Since that we must have them in our data security. And we're talking about this more than 3 years, but it doesn't happen. We need these professionals and we need the union also to assist the department so that we can get the professionals in our center. Because of the salary level. Did a professional young party. We go to the center check, we find out there's no doctor. We go to the center to find that there's no teacher. We go to the center, we find that the student that is only trained only to open the gate. Because we have to take the image. Hola, Englome. We go to the kitchen, Englome. We find that there's no one that is trained to cook. And the person that is trained is Uyuan. And this person, mother of, no one is looking after the image in the kitchen. The inmates were just on their own. And that member that was having only the key to open the gate and keep and lock the gate. If we were not working together on this thing, here correctional babies, really we are not going to make it, check it. We'll always come here and feel like we come complaining now, but you are now solution. They are better now. We are even here. This is the department chair that is looking after the life of the people of South Africa. But if this department is not taken seriously, we are going to counter the strike of the inmates, the strike of the staff, and emotional and the safety of our community is going to be taken. That's why I said at the beginning, Chair, I don't know whether it's a question or it's a comment, but I'm right about this report that is in front of us. That shows that there's no collective working together between the union, the employees, and the staff. Can they correct this when they come on our next meeting and give us a report check that is going to show that there is a way forward? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ranvenia. Madam President, I'm talking with 7 years management. I just want to check from the department and the organized labor if there was an agreement reached between the two of them on the implementation of this establishment, or was the actual reason to decide the implementation by themselves. Because wherever we go, we find the problem of not knowing about this the establishment by the officer. And this is a serious problem. And this is definitely the implementation by the department. I think it's in page 5. They say a reason to present a report on the state of readiness. But it doesn't tell us if they were very late. That's the state of readiness. That alone is not desired. I think it must be clear to us to tell us exactly what is happening between two of them. Because there, the members are members of ESA and the COP, but they say they don't know about the 7 day establishment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can we then allow Mr. Mukwena and your team to respond? In any order to the issue that has been raised.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members of the committee, let me upfront indicate there is a point that's been made about the need for both department and organized labour to take joint ownership of the challenges that exist within the department. We are in a unionized environment and we cannot exist as if we can exist without each other. We can't push each other away. In fact, we are in a less fortunate situation than the other couple because at least they can evolve and go their separate ways. Ours is a relationship which is a crucial relationship and we have to keep cognizance of that. It talks to issues of ensuring that on a regular basis at management area level, there are without fail union management forums taking place. Because it is at that level when you need to be dealing with matters at a localized level. If you want to have those forums for members, this is the point raised by Mabuzo. If you don't have those forums at a localized level, all that you are creating is an upward movement of changes. There is a direct correlation between the absence of those discussion forums and the number of grievances and the number of disputes. That is a given fact in law. In the first matter of concern. Honorable Leonard Max, I have been in the HR space for 3 months. I'm referring to these things based perhaps on my previous life, which I will not go into today, Honorable Chairperson. The point also that was made around the department walking away, abandoning the agreement, and in this forum then coming to concede that in fact we have abandoned the agreement and done these things. I just wish to point out on the record that with collective agreements, there will always be, without fail,
matter where you cannot agree on. Without fail, it is a joint responsibility of parties, as the honourable member indicated, to utilise the dispute resolution mechanisms that are in that agreement. Because an agreement without a dispute resolution mechanism is flawed. It only pushes you towards the court. And what we should be doing as a department, as jointly with our labour, there is really nothing that says we can't talk to mediators. If we disagree, surely the first call of court cannot be called. It can't be. Because a court then results in one party losing and another party winning. And I do have to say that if you also put yourself in a situation of an official in the IR space of the department, he has just lost a court case. And they are looking at the amount of money that they have potentially given away. Their natural reaction is to file for review. It's to offset the failures and say we are losing money here, therefore let us do that. But if we then go the route of mediation, we can talk until we are blue in the face. Eventually we will find an agreement. Not by resorting to court. There is an issue of Kimberley, which has been raised by Honorable Leonard Banks. We took a view that we would get someone, an accredited dispute resolution expert from the case, not our own official internal, because naturally then a challenge to say he used to work in his line number 20 years ago when they were in college, and therefore they are likely to favor them. So there is a facilitator from Tokiso who is at the whole phase now, together with our official, looking into concerns that they have given. There's been a point about a potential dismissal of myself. Yes, I will not respond to that. Saying to say that the department has taken a consistent view to say all these outstanding matters have to be resolved. We have to move with speed on them and to resolve them. And the lack of commissioner is at the forefront of ensuring that those decisions are taken as the chairperson of the National Management Committee. We welcome the point, and then we do take note that the morale on the shop floor could be better. It could be better. That is the point that we cannot run away from. And that is a function of all these upsetting things. And what we're saying as a department, it is less about us walking away from agreement, but about parties not sticking to their own forums that they've established to give effect to this resolution. And I do want to tell you to, and for me, that is the root cause. When you walk away and you leave each other to your own devices, this is what has caused us to do. So for record as well, it is really less about conceding everything. I mean, it is really an issue of dispute of interpretation and application of what parties have agreed to. And we are forced to go back together and say, through the mediation process, can we find each other around these topics so that we can give effect? There's a point by Mabundo around communication, joint communication. I think it is a valid point which we welcome, because it does often create inadvertent miscommunication and misunderstanding on the shop floor where parties, particularly on complex resolutions such as the one that we are referring to, that are before us. And it is something that we jointly with organizing, but have to look into and say, what are the mechanisms of going to address the members? And what we say, your union management forum at the shop floor are a critical deal. You go on a roadshow. So these are some of the things that we have within our minds. They can be utilizing media to ensure that we lessen the confusion. It is an unfavorable situation where the member at the moment does not understand fully what the 7-day establishment is. Because then it means that we're negotiating about it. We're talking about it, and that is not tenable. If they have to be money spent on us going for the roadshow and ensuring that people properly understand what exactly it is. Because you see, at some point you then be accused of representing your own challenge, of having negotiated things that people are not aware of.
Therefore, that they have not given you a mandate to go and negotiate one.
I want you to just touch on a few outstanding issues.
Let me just remind you that we don't recite on some of the standing issues. The first one is Babandobu doesn't understand how you can say that the 7-day establishment is a good thing, but the ship system is a problem. He just doesn't understand how you do that. So somebody must talk to them. And I think somebody must talk to, I think it's African Black that raised it, or somebody, that how do you agree on a project without having cost aid? And we sit here with a project that is unimplementable because you don't have money or implementing. So somebody must talk to the costing of these agreements that we are all talking about. And then the functionality of the joint committee. Somebody was asking the question, if there are these joint committees and they don't go and report back somewhere, how functional are they? And also, if one of the organized labor components is not the signatory to it, do they participate in these joint committees and so on? So let's talk about the functionality of these committees that we are saying must be revised. And then, of course, the state of readiness and implementation of the 7-day establishment. Was there a departmental campaign in terms of awareness and so on? Or was it just a department, I mean a region that does it as it is or she is or what is it, around the awareness after we took the decision on the 7-day establishment? And then of course I'm sure it was Babunguni or somebody that was just talking about, and I think it's about the functionality and also about the communication. We can't come here and get a report about this thing is resulting in corruption or jobs for hell or for whatever it is. And yet you guys are supposed to be part of the same family. You should have been processing these things there already. I mean, that's the document saying that the jobs for hell. It means that you're not talking to yourself. So those are the issues that I think you should touch on, and then we can wrap up and allow whoever wants to make closing remarks. But if you could touch on those few for us. Some of them might have been comments and you can then acknowledge them if there were comments, but those are the issues that I thought somebody must touch on very briefly and we can wrap up the discussion.
Chairperson, let me allow us that to quickly talk to the issue of the funding model.
Thanks, Chairperson. So I've been making notes on the all the issues that Chairperson is raising. Maybe I could just try to comment on some of them. Starting with the what Mabel raised regarding the communication. There was a department-wide communication strategy. When we were developing the policy on OSD, on the 7-day and after the conclusion of the resolution on OSD, it was the GPSLBC, GPSA, and the organized labor, together with the department, went on the roadshow where we communicated to all the regions and centers about the implementation, having all the health commissioners in those sessions, communicating what was going to happen, and we used also our internal communication mechanism get the message down to the people in the department. And what also was established to facilitate the implementation committees were established that involved organized labor that were supposed to be informing a member, management taking the responsibility to do so, but there was also a joint initiative of informing members that this is the 7-day establishment, what it means, and how it's going to work. So that communication strategy was very well communicated when the process of the OSD started. I can't say the same with members that may have joined the department in the past 3 years, I would say, when we were already in the implementation phase. They may have not understood particularly the learners that we had out of colleges. There may have been a communication gap there. there was a strategy that we implemented for communication. And the issue of the signed agreement where other parties have not signed, and whether they were part of those, they were part of the committees, they were part of the structures that were also engaged in a bilateral, also in a multilateral meeting, trying to understand each other and what it is that needs to be implemented and communicated. But I must indicate that some of the labor organizations, but like PSA in particular, they don't sign any resolutions in the Bargaining Council, but the rules guide that the majority unions will sign and other parties will sign, but they are bound by those agreements. So they never signed any of the agreements. So in this case as well, they did not sign, but the other parties and the majority parties signed. So it is a legal document, despite their signature not being on the document. But they were part of the structure of implementation. We're going around together with them in explaining how it's going to be happening. Yeah. I think the dispute resolution mechanisms that were built into this merging the concept, and some parties went out to the GPSS, which is to declare disputes, an arbitration award and an impact in court when they are not taking with the implementation. So some of those issues, the mechanisms have been followed up to the end of it. The issue of funding, why did we sign a resolution without? It was costed. We got a mandate from the mandate committee. And some of the parts, now when you go to the details, you realize that it's going beyond what was submitted when the calculations during the negotiations were held and submitted. So when you go to the detail of implementation, you realize that the legacy parts that were not properly done. I think CDC Mukwena, that's what you're trying to explain in the beginning, that during the negotiations there are lots of things, there could be emotions, there could be issues that are tabled, that when you go back for implementation and you do the calculations, you find that you've gone out of your estimations and so on, but all of that still needs to go back to the mandate committee to get further mandate in terms of implementation. And I think what was put in place, which it may happen that it's no longer happening. There was a separate meeting that the mandate committee had established between DDF, National Treasury, and DDFA to continue a meeting and facilitating the implementation where there are issues that need to be raised. The DPSA as a lead department would be the one that's taking these issues back to the mandate committee to clarify where we are meeting hurdles in terms of the implementation. On the 7-day establishment, yes, there was an agreement. It was signed in 2005, and all the work that we were doing, it was building on the resolution that was signed between the departments and organized labor from 2005. I think the challenge is with the implementation. I think that is where the major challenge is. And you are experiencing challenges. Speaking now from what I've experienced as a regional commissioner now, there are serious challenges with the implementation of the shift system. Because the shift system, and the 7-day, just to explain the part, because Bamundo also raised it, the 7-day work week, you can implement it in any shift system, depending on what happening of the shift you are doing. Like it is happening right now with many of our centers. But the ideal shift system that we had put on the table that we researched was based through by cross shift system because of its benefit towards meeting the objectives of the department and also meeting the objectives of legislation like basic conditions of the Employment Act and our Correctional Services Act and also the work-life balance or official. So I think critically, those were the
benefits that we have seen in implementing the 2x12 citizenship. And everywhere in the world where we made, we did some research, people have preferred citizenship, and it worked well for both the employer and the employee. But the constraint factor, as I want to re-emphasize, is the shortage of personnel. Shortage of staff.
Let me start with the last one that you spoke about shortage of personnel. Your quarterly report, end of June, your spending year to date up to the end of June was 2.4% lower than the projection. And the reason that you get to stress it is that we are underspending as departments, or the spending is slow because of natural attrition, delays of filling vacancies, outstanding general salary increases have not been implemented and so on. You understand. I'm raising this because just now somebody spoke about we are going to have to go and find money. I am saying to you, you are not spending what you are getting currently. You're not spending what you're getting currently. And part of the reason why we might not be able to implement is because we have to go and find money. I've not found money for you now. You're spending 2.4% less than you should have spent. So this of lack of implementation is something we just cannot accept anymore. We just cannot accept it anymore. Because you say one thing to us, you say something else to Treasury, we do oversight, we get something else. I think the time has come where we all have to be honest with that. If we fail, we fail this country. I think the time has come. And I think the time has come where if we must implement the law that says if you're mismanaging, you must pay the consequences for it. They must. You can't be underspending when you do your, when we do our quarterly reviews, and yet you come here and you say you can't service your members because you don't have any service them. So you're saying it depends on body. When you talk to that body and say we don't have money, when you talk to that body, you say actually this money that we have is because we can't implement. Or we can't employ people fast enough. And this committee is not going to accept that anymore. We cannot accept anymore. Because these are all purely excuses. Let me try to think about this. These are just excuses. In South Africa, the problem is not the lack of money. The problem is that we don't have the capacity to be able to use this money. And this is what we are showing here. It's not a lack of funds that you must, and I hope when you say you must go and find savings, that saving doesn't start with us. Because that's the easiest place to find savings, cut staff. Rather than cut overseas trips, cut whatever. But I'm saying to you, just on the basis of what you're going to come and present us in your quarterly report, you already are underspending by 2.4% of what you should have been spending. So that's money that you can use to fix up houses. I'm saying that because at the end of the day, somebody must say to us, now that we've identified that we've not implemented, what next? Because it can't be a false one. Somebody must come back to us within a reasonable time and say, since the 4th of September, these are the things that we have done. And I'm saying it can't be because of a lack of money. It can't be because of a lack of money. Otherwise, the report that I'm getting about slow spin is not a true reflection of something. Anything else but except the lack of money. And I think we must come up and say to the department, when do we want you to come back and talk about implementation? The real what it is that you have done. It's not about union bashing. It's not about management bashing. It's about our mandate as correctional services to rehabilitate people. That's what it's about. All these things that we're talking about have a direct impact on our whole function. As far as we are concerned, PSA, as far as we are concerned, all of you are coming. As Parliament, we have an obligation to oversee government. Now, within government, some of you are employers, some of you are workers. That's fine. But when you come here to account to Parliament about the implementation of government policy. And therefore, the question that, or the
comments made by some of my colleagues that these guys work together is one that is based on the fact that for us to account, and Parliament will continue to hold government to account, and Parliament will continue to assist, I mean to insist that those that have not implemented must be accountable. Somebody asked the question, what happens to those that have walked away from the agreement? That's something that happens between you. But to us, what happens if government doesn't implement policy? Whether it is a PSA component, whether it's a talk-through component, whether it's a manager component, as Parliament, we have an obligation to make sure the government implements. And that's the constitutional obligation that we have. So you need to fix up your in-house arrangement and come to us and say to us, in fact, we're implementing government policy. So those are closing remarks. I think what will have to happen, and we'll discuss it when we adopt our policy. But at some point we're going to call you back. Not for the historic conflict, not for the analysis of the problem. We are going to call you back to say, since the 4th of September, what has been done? What has been done? Because these joint committees must resolve all those things there in your various places. But when you come to us as government, you must be able to say to Parliament and to the people of Africa, this is what we have done as government, so that we as Parliament are then able to go back to the people and say, no, government is delivering. But currently, you, by your own admission, have said, we can do a hell of a lot more in terms of improving service delivery. And we are asking all of you to go ahead and do that for us. But we will come back to you. And we're asking one question, from the 4th of September, what have you done? And if you haven't done it, why not? So that those that are accountable, whether it's yourself, the labor, or department, are then at least put to the sword in terms of accountability. But we can't continue. I want to reiterate, it's not the lack of money. This department has not filled many posts. There are many, many rands that go back every year because you say, funded post but you've not filled. So it's not a lack of money correctional services, it's the lack of capacity to implement. With those words, we want to finish this business for today. We will adopt our list at some point and come back to you and ask you to come and talk to us. That's a good way. And organize labor through the various components. We will ask you to come back with the session so that we clear out these things and start doing what I think you said, DSA. What we need to do is to stop fighting and study what needs to be done. I think that was a closing comment, so we're going to do that. Having said that, thank you very much for coming. The meeting is adjourned until tomorrow. Not adjourned until tomorrow, this meeting is adjourned. We meet again tomorrow on another day. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.